Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll talk to Greg Finberg from Bullets Forever. If you're a Bullets Wizards fan, it's been a good sight for years. He'll jump on with us. We're doing a lot of NBA draft Wizards talk. We'll get to some football. Hoping to get Scott Abraham from Channel 7 on the show next hour at around 12 o'clock. Scott had some news on the RFK Stadium vote and on what it may look like. So we'll talk to our good friend Scott Abraham from Channel 7 at 12 noon. 301-230-0980. I didn't ask you, Max, is there a player in tonight's draft that you are super high on and you think, yeah, this guy's going to be, you know, an all-NBA kind of player 5 years from now, and you'd love to see that player land in a Wizards uniform?
So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I have been combing through all the footage of the the possible, you know, draftees tonight. But throughout the season, I mean, Ace Bailey has been an incredible scorer, and if he falls to 6, it's definitely not something you have to, or it's something you have to absolutely consider. But when you look at, you know, the management stuff and all that, like, I understand why it would be a big red flag to a lot of teams. So I, for that reason, Trey Johnson and VJ Edgecombe kind of they're really just both fun to watch for me. I like watching their athletic ability. So those two guys would be kind of where I would end up picking at 6. But I trust Will Dawkins. So we'll see where we end up.
Rutgers last year went 15-17, ended up with a losing record in the Big 10 as well. I think they went 8-12 in the Big 10 with two guys that have been projected top three, and maybe, you know, only one of them goes top, you know, three. Harper, number two overall, and Bailey may fall outside the top five. We'll see. But people, you know, will say, well, how good could they be if at the college level you had two top five-ish picks and you couldn't win? And by the way, I would add to that, Steve Peichel's a hell of a coach at Rutgers. He is a really good defensive coach. And they were not a great defensive team this year. The answer is simple. You don't win, you know, in this day and age in college hoops with young players. You win with the older players, the physically mature players that are in their 6th and 7th years. I'm exaggerating, but not by much. You know, so that's the reason, you know, they both had some really good games. Harper made a half-court shot early in the season. Who did it beat? I think it was Seton Hall. There was a half-court shot that Harper made at the buzzer. It was not a conference game. I think it was a Seton Hall game. Look that up for me. I'm looking for it right now. They each had some moments. I love Harper. I love everything about Harper. Bailey, I've already made myself, you know, very clear on that. Who the hell knows? He's 18 years old, and nobody knows what he's going to be like as a 22-year-old. But when they came, what was it?
It was Seton Hall.
It was Seton Hall. Was it? It was like a half-court shot, right?
Yeah. I'll play it right now if you want.
Yeah, play it. Yeah.
Deep three.
I just found the box scores. December 14th, he hit that half-court shot. He had 24 in the game. Bailey had 21. You know, they both had some big-time games, but it's just hard, especially in a league like the Big Ten, to win with your two best players being two freshmen. It just is, and that's why. They had some games in which, you know, they were right there. And I'm looking through their schedule, just coming up with some of the games. You know, they lost in double overtime late in the year to USC. They lost a really close game to Michigan on the road. Yeah, that was a big comeback by Michigan. If I recall, Rutgers had a huge lead in Ann Arbor in that game. Let me see how Bailey did against Danny Wolf and the kid, the Russian kid Golden, in that game. Bailey had 13-9 in that game. Dylan Harper had 17. Yeah, they had a big lead, and they blew that big lead and lost to Michigan. Michigan they won a lot of close games at the end of the season, including the Maryland game in the Big Ten tournament, which was a phenomenal basketball game. All right, 301-230-0980. Look, I think the top of the draft, I think Cooper Flagg is going to be a star player. I think that's the guy that I would say. And I think Dylan Harper's got a chance to be a star player too. You know, the other players that I really like that I think could end up being star players that aren't, you know, in that group, I like Trey Johnson a lot. I think he is fearless. You go look at some of his highlights. You go look at some of the games. In his very first game as a freshman in Vegas against Ohio State, a veteran team, by the way, he put up 20 shots, 10 threes, was 10 of 20, 5 of 10 from behind the arc, had 29 points in his very first game. They didn't win the game. They lost by 8. This is a guy that just, it didn't matter that he was 17, 18 years old. He was after it against the best league top to bottom in the country. I mean, some of his really good games, all right, against Tennessee, one of the best defensive teams in the country. He had 26 points on 11 of 17 from the floor, 4 for 8 from behind the arc. Against Auburn, when they were number, I mean, they played in order. Auburn number 2, Tennessee number 1 in early January. All right, they lost to Auburn 87-82. They lost to Tennessee 74-70, but he was outstanding in those games. Then a couple of games later, they played number 5 Florida, then number 13 Texas A&M. A&M held him early in the season to 11 points on 2 of 13. That's a good sign for Buzz Williams, Terp fans. But then in the rematch with A&M at home, he had 30 on 8 of 18. You know, I like everything about Trey Johnson. You know, in the biggest games of the year when they got to the end in March, you know, he had a big game and a double overtime win against Texas A&M in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament. And then Tennessee held them in check. And then they got beat by Xavier as a higher-seeded team. They were 6, and they lost to Xavier in the first round. He had 23 in the loss to Xavier in that game. I like Trey Johnson at number 6 for them. If Edgecombe fell to 6, I mean, this dude's going to be an unbelievable, hellacious defender. And what an athlete. And then 18, I'd love to see a move up for Queen. I would love to see a move up for Queen. I'd love to see a move up for Jaeger Damon from BYU if he ends up not being available at 18. There are other guys I mentioned. Let's find out who you guys like. 301-230-0980. Give me a player that you're absolutely convinced you're going to be right about and that you'd love to see somehow land in Washington. Ralphie in Bethesda. Ralphie, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I disagree with you about Cooper Flagg. I think I like Knuppel better. I think he's a better player. Cooper Flagg is a better athlete, but I just feel like Knuppel, he understands the game. Like, he sees the whole floor. But
no
I don't
doubt.
I don't think we're gonna have a chance. I don't think we're gonna have a chance to get him, so I don't even want to factor him in. He's definitely not slipping past Utah or the Sixers. So in a perfect world, I would take Queen at 6 and then I would take Walter Clayton at 18. But Wizards most likely won't do that. So I predict they're gonna try to take Fears because he has the high ceiling. And I don't I don't like Trey Johnson at all. He's too erratic for me, and he reminds me of Colin Sexton too much. I just don't like his game, and I just don't think he's a good defender. And then also, I really wouldn't mind Edgar Dameen. I think he's going to be a real solid player. I think he has some injury problems in the beginning of the season, so he didn't really get to showcase all of his skills. But I think he's going to be a real solid player. But in a perfect world, I really think Queen is the best fit. I know there's some concerns about his defense, but I think that he's going to be a really good professional player, and he understands the game. So, that's what I think.
The only thing I would say on your Colin Sexton, you know, comparison is Sexton is definitely more of a point, and Trey Johnson's definitely more of a wing. And Trey Johnson, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm looking it up, he's bigger. Isn't he bigger?
He's bigger, but he just his decision making is bad, and he looks like he doesn't understand the game. That's why I give Theory the upside, because he understands the game. Trey Johnson, I don't see what people see. They just see the shooting, but I don't see it with him. I really don't. I don't see it with him.
I'm with you too on Knuppel. I love Knuppel. Not that he's better than Cooper Flagg. I disagree with you on that. And look, you may end up being right. I think Knuppel is just super crafty, super smart. What'd you say?
Knuppel's a better basketball player. Cooper Flagg's a better athlete.
They're both excellent basketball players. They're both excellent basketball. If you're just talking about feel and guys that know how to play the game, they're both there. You don't like Flagg's IQ and his ability to feel it and pick and roll and pick and pop and post? He's an excellent passer, just like Knuppel.
And so many times he's so indecisive. Knuppel, he knows exactly what he's trying to do every time he gets the ball. And to me, that's just something you can't discount. So I love Knuppel, but like I said, we're not going to – there's no way we're getting Knuppel. So you could – Wiz fan could just, you know, not even count that. And he's not going past five.
Real quickly, though, Ralphie, what's really interesting about Cooper Flagg is I had to watch a bunch of times before I'm like, okay, I get it now. You know, and by the way, people who didn't know Knuppel would have said the same thing. You know, Flagg, early, remember they had some big-time games, like they played Kentucky, I think they played Kansas, they played, you know, they're playing a bunch of games, and there were moments where it's like, yeah, he's a little bit overwhelmed. But the more and more you watch during the course of the year, and remember, they played a schedule. Didn't they play Auburn when Auburn was number one and beat him at Cameron? I think they did. I'm pretty sure. And he was incredible in that game. I like both of those players. Knuppel's going to be interesting just because of size, quickness, first step, you know, athleticism, etc. But so you're 100% right. He knows how to play
Why don't you like Fears?
Not enough of against great competition consistency. It's not that I dislike him. I just like the other guys a lot more. I like Trey Johnson a lot more. I like Edgecombe. That dude's going to be a defender. He'd fit in perfectly with Oklahoma City on that team.
Let me ask you one last question. Do you think it would be irresponsible for the Wizards not to take Queen because they feel like the perspective of the NBA world is that Queen is going to be a bad defender and not sticking to their board of saying, oh, okay, this is the best player? Because I feel like Queen is probably in the top three best players, but there seems to be like this consensus around him in the NBA world and that he's not going to be a good defender, and there's worries about his athleticism. But if you look at just from the basketball perspective, he's a great player. Top three.
He is. Let me number one, that would be troubling if they were concerned about what others thought. Of course, you got to play the board the right way, but these boards and NBA drafts, you just got to get it right, and you can't pass in hopes you get them, you know, on your second opportunity. Here are the things, and I watched every single minute of every single Derek Queen game, and I think you probably did as well. There were two things that bothered me about Queen, and only two. Number one is, you know, he was targeted defensively, and he had a difficult time sometimes moving his feet and staying in front of people. Number two is there were games in which he just for periods of time, I mean, he was a true freshman. He would just completely play too too casually and have some of the worst turnovers you would see. I mean, bad turnovers, lazy, casual, not into the game turnovers. But I kind of chalk that up to he's a young player and he's just getting used to, by the way, the Big Ten, in which you got a lot of big men who defend. I think by the time we got to some of the biggest games of the year at the end of the year, he was outstanding. But I could see from a Derek Queen standpoint why he doesn't test well. You know, thanks for the call, Ralphie. You're great as always. I could see why athletically he wasn't very impressive. I do think he's going to end up being a decent shooter at the next level. Jay in Columbia. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. I really love Danny Wolf. I think
you like Danny Wolf. Yeah.
Yeah, he just drove me absolutely crazy. But then as the game was going on, it's like, damn, this guy is good. He's got so many blades in that Swiss Army knife. He's got some nasty in him. He's got a high IQ. I think he's a very under-the-radar kind of player that could fit in really well in the NBA because he can do so much. The other guy I really like as a second pick is Clayton. I mean, that guy can find his own shot.
Yeah.
He sees the game at a different pace. I think he's a Brunson-like player. I'm kind of shocked that he's the mocks have him going so
Me too.
You know, so late. But those are my two guys. The other question I wanted to ask you is when Ted sells the team, how much do you think he's going to ask for it?
I don't know. You know, your Danny Wolf thing, I remember at one point this year, I'm like, God, man, Michigan's having this great season. And they've got this 7-foot transfer from Yale who basically can play point guard. Remember in some of those games, he was literally bringing the ball up the court and initiating the offense, which was crazy to see for, you know, a 7-footer. He's skilled. Yeah. Did we lose him? Thanks, Jay.
No, I'm right here.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, his skill set was incredible. Like, to your point about the point guard moves, he was doing spin moves, and I'm like, how tall is this guy?
Right.
Like he was moving like a 6'5" guard, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So I think he's just got a real unique skill set to his game where you can plug him in so many places. But he's also got a maturity about it too.
Like no doubt.
He's got some real intellect about the game itself. He sees the game unfold and he's really, really smart. So
By the way, where is Golden projected to go? I mean, the dude was definitely a rim protector and could score and had great hands, great feet. I mean, their size was really impressive. You know, Maryland had Queen and Reese, and Michigan had Wolf and Golden. Where is Golden projected to go?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I'm going to look that up. Let's go to G. G, go ahead.
Yeah, man, I like Trey Johnson too, but I like Ace Bailey over Trey Johnson. You talk about they take bad shots. Both of them take bad shots.
I didn't say he took bad shots. That's not why I'm not a big fan.
Both of it, no. Nah, but see, you tripping off it. You talking about he tapped out. He probably really was sick, Kevin. You were sick the other week and took off because your voice was gone, man. Come on, man. He might have really been sick. You know,
I didn't tap out after somebody came in, joined me as a co-host, and absolutely showed me up like Derek Queen and Reese and everybody else did that night. You know what it looks like. That was a night in which it was a big time, you know, Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper, Derek Queen, all on the floor, and he left the game with 4 points, looked terrible, and got outclassed. I said,
hey, you know,
"It's a you can't judge somebody on their worst night." I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. But that impression stuck with me. Sorry. It did.
Yeah, but don't let it stick with you that much because
it did.
He's been a high prospect since he was a junior, man. They knew he was going to the league.
Why is he going sick? Why isn't he going to go three as he's been projected for a year and a half now?
Because they said he didn't meet with any teams.
Like, yeah. Why didn't he?
You don't work out. When you don't work out for teams, that's fine. You protecting your investment sometimes. Okay. But sometimes you do got to go on them job interviews so them people can talk to you. So
yeah.
I think a lot of NBA teams is a little scared and skeptical on that. But you know, you got to sit down and talk to people before you make a multi-million-dollar investment in them. But that's why I think his draft stock done failed. But his skill set, it fits the pros to a T. And he will be a star. And them undersized dudes that I think will be productive in the league, you can't discount what Walter Clayton Jr. did. That platform he was on, he took full advantage of it, and he's a hooper. And Jace Richardson got the pedigree also. Undersized, but he is a hooper. He plays super tough, super hard, super competitive, man.
He did, and he, I mean, you know, when Izzo loves you as a freshman and puts the ball in your hands as much as he put it in Jace Richardson's hands, that means something for sure.
Yeah, but I want to be able to watch Ace Bailey play for the Wizards. I want them to figure out how to get Derrick Queen. Derrick Queen, he does have some similarities to Joker, but we need to stop with them outlandish comparisons because he's more of a Al Jefferson type dude that really he could score. He's going to figure out how to score in the league, and he can't jump.
It's not a bad comp. Yeah, that's not a bad comp. I mean, Joker is one of one almost. So it's just stylistically, as you know, that's the way he plays. By the way, real quickly, just announced the college opener on November 7th for both Maryland and Georgetown will be each other. Maryland's going to open against Georgetown at Xfinity Center Friday, November 7th. Georgetown and Maryland set to play each other for the next several years. All right, G, I got to run.
As it should be.
I know. We've been asking for it for years.
Thomas Sorba might sneak in that lotto.
Yeah. All right, I got to run. Alan in Durwood, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Kevin. Let me explain on Ace Bailey. The reason he didn't practice with the Sixers is he doesn't want to go to the Sixers because they have too many offensive weapons. He wants to be the star as soon as possible, and he wants to go to the Wizards. I mean, I'm a Nets fan, and I'd love to see the Nets get him, but if he's there for the Wizards, they should grab him. I mean, he's got Kevin Durant skills. I watched for almost every one of his games, and just for the record, I mean, I was at that Rutgers-Maryland game, and he was sick. I follow everything related to Rutgers basketball, and he was sick that day.
He was in the midst, if you remember, of some pretty horrific games at the time.
Yeah, did you see his games against Indiana and Northwestern?
Northwestern, I saw. The Northwestern game, he was incredible. He was incredible.
And Indiana was the same.
But, you know, Northwestern's best player was a 6'7", you know, Nick Martinelli. I mean, let's be fair here. It's not like they had big, you know, rim protectors or defenders.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the Wizards do get him, it'll be good they brought in some veterans because I think he could use that influence around them because he is, frankly, a little bit of an immature goofball, but in a fun way. So, you have to bear with that.
I'm never going to judge somebody on their worst day. It was an impression that I'll never forget. I'm like, you got to be kidding. We all wanted to see, you know, Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper and Derrick Queen, three, you know, lottery picks in the same game. And he looked terrible, played, like I had to go back and look this up. He still played 24 minutes and he was just outclassed and, you know, finally decided to go to the bench and not come back in. But you're right. Of course he could have been sick, legitimately sick.
Yeah,
he's a talent, no doubt.
Yeah, to answer your question, Golden is projected as a late second-round pick.
Yeah.
And I agree with your prior caller about Danny Wolf. I mean, if the Wizards could get him at 18, I think they'd have to move up to get him. But I think Danny Wolf would also be an excellent choice.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it. Those of you on hold that I'm not going to get to, we can come back to this in the very final segment of the show, probably 12:30-ish. We'll finish up, see if we can take more calls and get more ideas on who you guys like in the draft. I see some of the players mentioned, you know, a lot of Trey Johnsons, a lot of Ace Baileys for sure. Time will tell on all these guys, obviously. Up next, we're going to talk to Greg Finberg from Bullets Forever. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980, theteam980.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You'll let me know, Max, when we reach Greg Finberg from Bullets Forever. A website that I've paid attention to a lot over the years because I'm a huge fan of the team. They've done a great job covering the team for years, bulletsforever.com. Greg Finberg, who is a writer for bulletsforever.com and has a Wizards podcast scheduled to join us here shortly. We are talking NBA draft. The Wizards made a trade yesterday. They moved on from Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and the second round pick that they had for tonight, which was, you know, a fairly early, the 10th overall pick in the second round, number 40 overall. They sent that to New Orleans for CJ McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and the Pelicans' second round pick in 2027. And we have Greg right now. Greg Finberg from Bullets Forever joins us. You can follow Greg on X on Twitter, at Greg, F-I-N-B-E-R-G. He's a Penn State guy. He's got a Wizards podcast called The Wizards Podcast. And as mentioned, he's been a writer at bulletsforever.com. So before we get to the draft, Greg, give me your overall takeaway on yesterday's trade.
Yeah, well, the trade yesterday was a bit shocking. Jordan Poole obviously was a guy that the Wizards rumored to possibly be shopping. You know, I thought they could maybe cover the first, maybe two, but it turns out that they decided to go with the route. So obviously some people are upset that they traded Poole. It's possible that they traded the better player in the deal, but the main takeaway is the fact that they have opened up over $100 million in salary cap in 2026, meaning that, you know, Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart, Kelly Olynyk, CJ McCollum are making upwards of $97 million this year, but they're all expiring deals. Whereas if you kept Poole and you kept Sadiq Bey, that's another $36 million that you would have had on your cap for the next 2 years. So the Wizards clear cap space, and obviously it's been tough to attract free agents to Washington, but they have the money, and it's clear that next year when they have the top eight protected pick, they're going to want to bottom out. Bottom four record can, you know, solidifies the fact that they're able to keep that pick, and then you move forward to the following year, and it seems like they want to at least try to compete. They'll have cap space. They'll have a bunch of their young guys that are hopefully developed, and at that point they can try to ascend. It seems pretty clear from this trade that they didn't see Jordan Poole as a long-term fit, and I think the old front office would have maybe bought into it, you know, maybe the fact that they could keep Poole, but this front office seems pretty proactive. They saw he probably wouldn't be a fit here. They got off his salary. And I will say, a year ago, you know, with Jordan Poole's first year in D.C., everyone thought he'd have a pretty untradeable contract. And now you look at the Wizards, and they were able to offload that contract without sending additional draft capital to do so. So I think it was a good deal in terms of salary cap relief. They're probably going to be bad again next year, but I can definitely understand the deal.
I mean, I kind of came to the same conclusion. It's like you're going to clear $110 million cap-wise, so maybe you decide that a year from now is the off-season that, A, you'll have another very high pick in what will be, you know, potentially the Cameron Boozer draft, you know, and there are a couple of others in that draft as well. So it will have been sort of four drafts in which you selected fairly high, got a bunch of young players, and maybe you try to spend for players, but you just said it. This has never been a destination for free agents. And I would also add to that, and tell me if you disagree, we haven't seen the big acquisitions in recent years be free agents as much as we've seen trades that have landed, you know, the big names and the big needle movers in terms of pushing a team over the edge into sort of that championship contender status. So I wonder, even if the plan was to do something like that this time next year, could they do it?
Yeah, well, you make a good point. You know, D.C. is a big market, but they've operated, especially the last couple of years, as a small market because it seems like not a lot of people view it as an attractive free agent destination. You know, when you had John Wall and Bradley Beal and they were in their prime and you were contending, the Wizards still, for some reason, couldn't even get a meeting with Kevin Durant. Obviously, LeBron James didn't even look their way. Like, the big-name free agents seemingly haven't really wanted to come to D.C. So, you know, financially, they are set in 2026, and they have that ability. It's just a matter of being able to attract those free agents. And you know, based on the past, I'd say they probably won't be able to. But it is a new regime with the new front office. They're doing things differently. It's a new culture as well in D.C. And it honestly depends on the development of the young guys. I think, as you see in OKC, like, they have Shea, they have J-Dub, they have Chet. They have a bunch of compelling young talent. And even for them in a smaller market, they only signed Hartenstein. Like, that was their big free agent. They traded for Caruso. Yeah. So sometimes when you're like that, you got to draft, you got to trade. You know, the Utah Jazz, when they were contending the last couple years with Mitchell and Gobert, you know, they traded for Gobert. They drafted Mitchell. They traded for Mike Conley. You know, sometimes you got to, you know, work around the margins. And despite the Wizards having $100 million in cap space, while they might not be able to sign the big-name free agents like a Luka or a Giannis, you know, they can still trade for somebody. They have the cap space now to do so in 2026, and I think that might be the route they go. But they have the space, and I think that's when they'll try to compete. So whatever way they do it, you know, I think the front office has done a good job in trying to rebuild the culture. So we'll see how they do.
Yeah, let's not forget, too, that they will have some young players, you know, in the future that they're going to probably want to pay as well. But you're so right. Like, you know, Durant was a total pipe dream. They should have never gotten rid of Trevor Ariza in advance of that. That was a big, devastating blow. John Wall was on with me a couple of weeks ago and said that that was a terrible move. He went to Ernie and others and said, Kevin Durant's never going to sign here. Hell, Al Horford didn't even pick here, even though it was close. With the Celtics. And I'm wondering, you know, you cover this team. You've got a podcast dedicated to this team. Why do you think a city like Washington, which at its core, and I know this, I'm from here and have lived here a long time, is a basketball town at the youth level, high school level, two powerhouse over the years, national championship college programs. Why don't NBA players view Washington favorably?
I mean, you seem like they do those like front office surveys and player surveys, and a lot of the players vote Washington as one of the least, you know, coveted destinations, as one of the perennial worst franchises in the league. And I think it's all those years of mediocrity. And yeah, you almost made the conference finals with Wall and Beal, but you weren't actually a contender. You know, you were never going to get past the Cavs. You were never going to beat the Warriors. So I don't know when the last time is that you entered a season, if you're the Wizards, and you said, you know what, this is a legit title-contending team. And you know, while they've had good talent, they really haven't been able to capitalize on it to the extent of making conference finals and finals. I mean, they haven't made a conference final since they won in 78. It's one of the longest droughts in the league. So I think a lot of players just kind of view Washington as a bottom-of-the-barrel destination. All the years of mediocrity when you were paying Beal $50 million to be your number one option, I don't think that certainly helps your case. And I think they're trying their best to rebuild it. They're trying their best to kind of come out of it with all of this young talent, all this cap space, and kind of put it together. But the issue with that isn't the fact that you have roster spots and cap available. It's the ability to attract those free agents. And like you mentioned, without Horford, with KD, they seemingly have been, even when they have John Wall, Bradley Beal, these young up-and-coming players, that didn't really do the trick. So I don't know if Sar, Koulibaly, whoever they draft this year, Bob Carrington, like, I don't know if that's the most attractive destination for a guy when maybe, you know, teams out in L.A., Houston's obviously up-and-coming, OKC, like, those are the teams you're going to have to compete against, and it just doesn't seem like Washington has gotten to that point where one of those top free agents wants to come to D.C., but I think, you know, they'll have to prove that with their development and with how the young guys play, that this is a good destination. We've rebuilt the culture. We have a really good collection of talent, and if you come here as a big free agent, you could compete for a championship. They have that number one option still open. They still need a number one guy. So, you know, if someone can be the guy, that's possible. They just got to be able to buy into what DC could be, because they clearly haven't seen that in years.
Yeah. 46 years, in fact.
Yeah.
We're talking to Greg Finberg from Bullets Forever. So before we get to tonight, do you think any of the young players that they've drafted over the last 2 years has all NBA, even second or third team potential in 3 to 4 years from now?
It's a great question. I'd argue Bob Carrington. It's just it's hard for a lot of the guys like Keyshawn George, Alex Sarr, Bilal Koulibaly. They kind of make their mark on the defensive end, and you know, in an ideal world, they're capable 3-point shooters, and you know, they can maybe create for others down the line, but they're never going to be your 20 plus point per game scores. Whereas Bob Carrington, I think, with the trade of Jordan Poole, he's going to step into that lead guard role. He averaged 17.7 assists down the stretch last year as a lead guard. He's someone that I think could be a 20 plus point per game scorer, and if the Wizards are good enough, somebody that could be, you know, an all NBA second or third team selection. In terms of the other guys like Sar, Koulibaly, George, I think they're going to be good on defense, and there's possible all defensive teams in their future. It's just the lack of shot creation for all of them. The 3-point shot for all of them still needs to get more consistent. And I don't view them as the type all NBA players that maybe Bob Carrington could be. And again, if they draft a guy like Ace Bailey or Trey Johnson, someone that can go get a bucket, that could also be someone that I view as a possible All-NBA guy. But I think if Bob is going to be that lead guard, he's shown the ability to knock down the mid-range. It was 50% from 15 to 19 feet last year. Learning behind guys like McCollum and Middleton for the next year, learning behind a guy like Smart defensively, I think that's the one guy you could look at and say, you know what, I think in a couple of years, maybe second or third team All-NBA.
If he didn't make that buzzer beater in the season finale, they'd be picking fifth tonight, right?
Well, they would have a tiebreaker, so it would have been a coin flip between them and Utah. So, like, they very well could have lost it and been picking sixth, and they could have won it and picking fifth, which would have been great. But yeah, they weren't solidified or guaranteed the fifth pick. It would have been a coin flip.
Do you think Sar can be a stretch four, big stretch four?
I think so. I mean, 32% from three isn't the greatest mark, but when you consider
the stroke was a good stroke, though, didn't you think?
Oh, for sure. I mean, he shot about 11% in summer league. It was like 15% through the first month of the season. But then you see it slowly building. And on about 40 to 50 attempts in, I believe, December, he was shooting 46% from three. So, you know, the shot is there. It's a good stroke. He seems like a guy that's going to put in the work. It's just, you know, he started the season so poorly that percentage isn't going to reflect well. I think the ability to play the four and the five is something I liked when Sar was coming out. A lot of people mainly view him as a four in an ideal world, and it depends if you get a good center next to him. I mean, you see in OKC, you got Chet that can stretch the floor, and you have Hartenstein that can kind of play as your screen and roll defensive anchor type center with Chet kind of roaming. I think that's a good role for Alex Sar if you can get someone next to him where he can kind of roam and be a rim protector on defense while also being able to stretch the floor on offense. a lot of those two big lineups feature the same thing. You look at Cleveland with Mobley and Allen. Mobley has shown the ability to knock down the three, and he's kind of that, you know, shot-blocking rim protector. And then you got Jared Allen, who can also protect the rim and is a little bit more of a screen-and-roll defensive anchor type guy. So I think if you were going to have Sarr as a stretch four, you would need to have a pretty solid center that I think could play alongside him, and I think that would unlock him. Versus if you have Sarr at the five, I think it does stretch the floor and gives you a lot more spacing if you're the Wizards. It's just a matter of, you know, he got bullied down low by guys like Jokic, and everyone does, but, you know, Jokic is just so much stronger in terms of his base and can kind of bully Sarr. He got bullied on the glass a lot, you know, whereas I think if he's playing the four and he's guarding fours, he'd have a much easier time. It's just a matter of finding that fit that can go alongside him in the front court.
All right, we'll get to the draft in a moment, but I just was curious. Do you think C.J. McCollum could end up being a guy that, you know, averages, let's just say, 22, 23 a game and becomes, even at 33, 34 years old, whatever he is, could become an interesting trade chip at the deadline next year or not?
Certainly. I mean, the $30 million price tag, it's an expiring deal, which helps the Wizards, but the $30 million is tough. It's a similar boat, you know, as Middleton. Both are solid scorers and good players still that have battled injuries, but it's the price tag that might do it for some teams. I mean, you know, look no further than the Pelicans last year. They were terrible, and for most of the season, they were in, you know, full tank mode. And McCollum played a lot. If you watch when the Wizards played him, he dropped 50 on the Wizards in New Orleans on 10 threes. Like, he's still got games. He averaged 21 points on a pretty.
Yeah, he's been a guy that could score since the moment he came into the league.
Certainly, if you're looking at the Wizards, they're probably going to be bad. Like I said, they have a top 8 protected pick next year. If they have a bottom 4 record, they guarantee that they keep that pick no matter what. So again, if they decide to bottom out, they're going to be bad, just like the Pelicans were. CJ's going to get a lot of attempts. He'll probably start, and he averaged 21 points on the Pelicans last year. He had a couple really good games for them. He was kind of their go-to guy down the stretch, so I don't know why I would expect a different role, I guess, on a similar team in a similar situation like the Wizards. I think we started to. He played alongside Bub. And you have a good mix of veterans and youth, and I think the Wizards will, you know, possibly be better than they were last year, but I think it'll benefit the young guys greatly from playing alongside someone like CJ or someone like Middleton. So I think he'll certainly get his buckets. Like you said, he's always been a scorer. It's just, you know, number one, staying healthy, and then number two, can you find a suitor where the contracts work and they're willing to take back $30 million expiring salary if they're willing to contend.
All right. What do you want to see happen tonight? What are you hoping for at 6 and then at 18? You can include trades.
Awesome. It gives me some freedom. You know, I've been offering, for the most part, when I've been asked this, an ideal situation, like you said, and then my more realistic. I think it's pretty safe to say that Flagg and Harper will go 1-2. It's looking a lot like VJ Edgecombe goes 3 to Philly. And then it seems like Con Knipple is kind of the guy that Charlotte's circling in on at 4. And so if that's the case and the top 4 goes like that, I'm sat at 6, I'm the Wizards. I think what we could see realistically is Brooklyn just acquired the 22nd pick. They have 8, 19, 22, 26, and 27 in this year's draft. So they have all the ammo to be able to move up, as they've been rumored to want to do, to jump Washington, to either select Fears, who they're apparently high on, or Ace Bailey, who they're also very high on, two guys that I think the Wizards probably have at the top of their board as well. The only thing is, you know, you saw this with Bilal Coulibaly a couple years ago, where, you know, the Wizards had to trade up one spot to get him because Utah offered, you know, a decent package to move up with Indiana. And Utah was back in the back end of the lottery, and it was only a one spot drop. So I think it might be a bidding war between the Wizards and a team like the Nets moving up. And the Wizards, you know, best asset is that Utah would only have to move back one spot. If they don't want Bailey, they know the Wizards are going to take him. They can still move back to 6, take a guy like Fears that they really like, and get a couple second-round picks plus 6. Like, that's a good trade. So I think maybe you'll see a bidding war there between them and Brooklyn. But I think if they're sat at 6 and Trey Johnson and Ace Bailey are there, that would be my top two guys. And I'm pretty indifferent on who the Wizards select. Both have really good upside. Johnson's probably a little more polished now, but Bailey's probably a higher ceiling. But I think if it gets to that point, you draft either of them, if you're the Wizards, then great. And you got Fears there too, that I've heard the Wizards really like, trading Jordan Poole. You now have an open spot at the lead guard. You can play up alongside Bob, and that's also a good thing. So I wouldn't be opposed to the Wizards maybe giving up a small haul to outbid the Nets and jump up to get Bailey. But I think in an ideal world, you sit there at 6, Ace Bailey falls in your lap, and you take a guy that most would probably have as number 3 on their board at 6 without having to give up any assets. And you know, as Bruins fans were about falling in the lottery, you still get the guy you would have gotten at three. So that deal, in terms of 18, there's a bunch of good talent that'll be available. And I think Will Dawkins has been pretty aggressive in recent drafts. So a trade-up would certainly make sense. And from what I've heard, it's probably likely if they find the right team. You know, certainly the Spurs at 14 and the Thunder at 15. Those are two teams that are looking to contend certainly next year with the Spurs as well. It's possible that the Wizards offer 18, plus maybe, you know, an extra first that they have from the Philly trade with Reggie Jackson. They have first-round picks from the Jordan Poole, Chris Paul trade from the Warriors, and from the Denny Avdia trade with Portland. So they have 14 second-round picks as well. They have a bunch of ammo, you know, themselves. So they can certainly make a move to trade up. If a team like that wants Kispert or Smart and they can make the money work, great. But I would certainly expect a trade-up possibility. You know, if Derek Queen, the local kid, falls to 14 or 15 like he's been expected, Yegor Demin from BYU falls, Noah Senge from France, those are some guys that I think they'd be willing to trade up for if they fall to that range. And if you can't find a move, you got Asa New out of Georgia, Thomas Sorber out of Georgetown, Rashear Fleming out of St. Joe's. Those are more like forward bigs that can stretch the floor. Not as much Newell, but Danny Wolf certainly could probably be a point forward in the league. There's going to be some talent there at 18, but I would definitely expect them to at least explore a trade up, given how many extra assets they have.
All right, so we'll finish with this. You've given your preference, what you'd like to see it happen at 6. You've given the possibilities at 18. What would be your dream scenario with 18, whether it's a trade-up for Queen or somebody like that, or Yegor Emin, or sticking at 18 and picking somebody? What do you hope happens?
In an ideal world, you know, Derek Queen being there, I've seen a lot of stuff that there was mixed reviews about his combine. Now, I'm sure there'll be one team within that range that says, you know what, I don't know if I like some of the stuff, but he definitely has the talent, and if he's fallen too far, I'll take him. But he's a guy that's 9 on my board, and I really buy the offensive upside, the ability to possibly be, you know, a creator, an offensive hub, as we've seen the likes of Jokic do in the league, where you can kind of sit him on the block, pass him the ball, cut off of the action, and you know and trust that he's going to find the right spot, find the right open player, get a shot for himself or his teammates. That's kind of what I'm looking at with Queen. I think he would actually be a great complement to Sarr down low, kind of what Sarr can't do, Queen can do, and vice versa, in terms of Sarr, you know, helping out with defense, but then Queen gives a little bit more on offense. So I think that would be a pretty good marriage in the front court. And if the Wizards get him at 18, that's certainly incredible value. So in an ideal scenario, I would say Derek Queen falls, and the Wizards don't have to give up any assets. They get, you know, an Ace Bailey at 6 or a Trey Johnson at 6, and they come away with Derek Queen too. In my world, that's ideal because that's two top 10 players with 6 and 18. But I like the value there if Queen were to fall, certainly.
One last one, I lied. Do you think Yegor Demin's going to play point guard in the NBA?
Yeah, and that's a good question. That's why I didn't have him in my dream scenario. I have a lottery grade on him. Like, I think he's going to be a very good player, but, you know, the Wizards have Bob Carrington. It's pretty clear they're confident in him. They just traded Poole to go open up minutes for him at the lead guard position. The Denny Avdia trade was obviously in large part to get him. So they've invested a lot of Bob Carrington already. He had a great rookie season. So I don't know, you know, if drafting Demin would be best. It seems like he's a guy that you need to kind of put the ball in his hands to really see him thrive, especially, you know, if you do draft a guy like Fears at 6, then you kind of got, you know, a lot of guys that need the ball in their hands. So obviously if they go a different direction at 6 with maybe Ace Bailey, and you're looking at, okay, we can maybe draft a Demin, play him alongside Bob, and you got a pretty big front court, then sure. But I just don't foresee, you know, Demin being able to have that type of role in Washington, especially with all the young players and talent and minutes to go around. So
he might be the best passer in the draft, honestly. Could be.
Yeah,
Greg, great job. Really appreciate it. Greg Finberg, at Greg Finberg on X on Twitter. He's got a podcast called The Wizards Podcast. Great job. Enjoy tonight. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me on, Kevin. You have a good one.
Yep. What James Wood was allowed to do last night when we come back. Scott Abraham at noon with some news on RFK.
All right, the NBA draft is set to get underway tonight at 8 p.m. on ABC and ESPN. The Wizards have the 6th pick and the 18th pick tonight, and options tonight at guard include Jeremiah Fears, Trey Johnson, and VJ Edgecombe. Forwards, Ace Bailey and Con Knipple, and center, Kamon Malawach from Duke. The draft, again, gets underway tonight at 8. Keep it locked here on the Team 980 for our NBA Draft Show with Linnell Willingham at 7:30. The Reds pitcher Chase Burns made his much-anticipated debut last night. The Reds' second overall pick in the 2024 MLB draft struck out the first 5 batters he faced, and he becomes the 5th first-round pick in last year's draft to reach the major leagues. The Nats, they fall to the Padres by a score of 4-3. The San Diego native Trevor Williams drops to 3-9 on the season after giving up 7 hits and 4 earned runs. C.J. Abrams and Jacob Young, the only players with multiple hits. The Nats will close out their series with the Padres today at 4:15. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 3:45. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Base is loaded, 1-0 Nationals. Here's the set and the 3-1 delivery. That's inside, ball 4. Wood never swings the bat. He draws a bases-loaded walk, scoring Riley Adams, and it's 2-0 Nationals. RBI 62 on the season for James Wood.
Dave Jagler last night, without a hit, James Wood had 2 RBIs last night. That one came in the top of the 2nd inning with the bases loaded and in just 5 pitches. Basically, 4 of them not even really close. They didn't want any part of James Wood, and they walked him with the bases loaded to give up a run and trail in the top of the 2nd 2-0. This guy is becoming feared as a hitter. 2 RBIs, he was 0-for-4 with those 2 RBIs, and did strike out 3 times last night in a 4-3 loss. But still, what a player James Wood has turned into. No home runs, so he's still stuck on 22 after homering four times in five games. They have another, the Nats do, this afternoon in San Diego as part of this West Coast trip. All right, when we come back, Scott Abraham, Channel 7, is going to jump on with us. He had some news yesterday on RFK. You'll hear it next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.